Amen. In the presence of the Lord, there is joy forevermore. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, victorious in you. Yes, I will. Yes, you had a little stomach thing going on. So, Lord, yeah, we thank you for healing tonight. And my wife, thank you for blessing Gina with strength. Amen. Healing her body. Amen. Anybody else here who's ill, just raise your hand and say, Lord, thank you for healing. Thank you for strength, Marcus, in your body. In Jesus' name, thank you for healing. Thank you for blessing Mark, Lord, in this time in his life, that your hand be upon him and strengthen him in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for your grace and your goodness leading and guiding him every step, Lord. Thank you that he can trust you to lead him, to guide him, to take care of him, Lord. Lord, we thank you for just this character in Mark. He's such a hard worker. He's a diligent man. I know that, Lord. So we thank you for his character. We thank you for Mark being a part of our body. We thank you for blessing him. Lord, we thank you for being with Michael again, Michael Tanner and Christian Tanner, Jesse Ann's kids. We just thank you for blessing them and watching over them. I know that Michael needs a healing in Jesus' name in her body. So we bless her. We declare healing over her body in Jesus' name. We thank you for her, Father God. We thank you for your hand upon them and bless. Thank you for healing Christian of cancer. Thank you that, Lord, he could have easily been dead and he is alive. Thank you for blessing him. And I thank you for purpose in Christian's life, Father. We bless them in the name of Jesus, Lord, how we love you, Lord, how we exalt you, how we praise you. Lord, we thank you for your presence here, Lord. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for the presence, Lord, in the congregation right now. So we, Lord, we just worship you. We bless you. We praise you. We exalt you. We take a minute. Just take a few minutes, Lord. Lord, we just exalt you and praise you, Lord. We worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your loving kindness is better than life. Your mercies are new every morning, Father God. We thank you that your hand is upon us. Thank you that you're protecting us. Thank you you're protecting our families. Thank you you're protecting our children. Thank you that you're protecting our mates. Thank you that you're protecting our friends, Father God. Thank you for your hand upon us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have kept us, Lord. Thank you for your loving kindness. So we just honor and worship you, Lord, where our world does not know any, or where our world does not know anything about your loving kindness. I thank you that we do. And Lord, and I pray there just be a continued revelation of your loving kindness that is better than life, Lord, a continuing revelation of who you are, Lord, of how much you love us, how much you care for us, Father God, how precious we are in your sight. And so we thank you for that tonight, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just worship you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. We bless you and honor. We worship you, Lord. We thank you for victory in our lives. Lord, we thank you for victory, the struggles that I know many of us are going through some struggles maybe right now in your life. And just right now is a time where you just say, Lord, I just give this to you, Lord. I am a living sacrifice, and I give my life afresh and anew to you right now, Lord. I thank you for bringing me victory through every struggle. Lord, I thank you that I could trust you with every area of my life, and you'll bring me through, Father God. Lord, I know the word says in this world you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. Thank you, Lord, that you've already overcome this world. So, Father, we thank you that we belong to you. Father, we thank you that we are children of God. Father, we thank you. Your word says you'll never leave us nor forsake us, Father God. We can put our trust in you, Father God. We can be, Father, we can have calmness and peace and rest knowing that you have us, Father God. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for stirring the spirit, man, stirring our spirits tonight, Father God, to worship you, to trust you, Father, for giving us dreams and visions in Jesus' name. Father God, for giving us answers to problems, Father God. We thank you for your wisdom. Lord, we just trust you. Lord, we thank you for the scripture. It says that God opposes the proud, meaning I can figure this out on my own. But Lord, that you give grace to the humble, Lord, saying, Lord, we need you in every area of our life. Areas where we're blind, Father God. Thank you for removing the blindness, Lord. Thank you for revealing those areas that we're blind to. Thank you for showing those areas. a continual unwrapping of the goodness of God, of the grace of God, the power of God. Thank you for freedom in areas of our lives, strongholds, struggles. Thank you for freedom in Jesus' name. Lord, your word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. So God, continue to, we belong to you, so we just trust you. Lord, we belong to you, so we trust you. Lord, we belong to you. We are your children, so we trust you with every area of our lives. In little areas, Lord, where there may be bitterness or resentment, Lord, we just pray that you pull those roots out in Jesus' name. Pull those roots out in Jesus' name. Little areas, Father, where there's hurts in our hearts, we thank you for healing those things. Lord, dang areas where there's been disappointment, Father God, we thank you, Father, for touching those areas. Lord, areas, Lord, we thank you for loneliness in our lives. Father, we thank you, Father, for bringing your friendship and your peace and loneliness in areas of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you're, Father, that you never leave us, you never forsake us. We think that you're always there, drawing close to us, Lord, by your Spirit and by your presence. Father, how we honor you and thank you. We thank you that you filled us with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I think of in Galatians where it says that we're children of Abraham, and the first thing that was given to us was the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, inside of us, that living inside of us. We thank you for that, God. Lord, help us to, Lord, not to take more advantage of your power within us, Lord God, to understand how to walk in that power and trust in you. Father, we thank you that you still heal the sick in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that you still heal the sick in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that you're still saving souls in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you're bringing people out of darkness into your marvelous light. So we thank you for that, God. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you for healing our sister Karen, Lord. We continue. Leanna, can you, Leanna Corbett, will you raise, put your hands on Karen, or any of the ladies, or anybody that would like to put hands. Be careful with her, though. In Jesus' name. Thank you for this precious sister. Thank you for this precious sister. Lord, we thank you for this precious sister. Matter of fact, Father, I remember that she found this church through Jesse Ann. Jesse Ann's the one that told her about this church. And so, Lord, we thank you. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we just speak and declare healing over Karen's body right now in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that this surgery that she's had, Father God, Lord, that you would begin to mend her, Father God, far beyond what the body's capable of doing. So, Lord, we just declare healing over her. Lord, this little area that she's struggling with right now, Lord, we speak healing to that area right now in Jesus' name. So, Father, we declare that and speak that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Father God, we are resting in the promises of God and knowing those promises that Jesus of Nazareth walked around healing all who were sick and oppressed. And we rest in that fact right now with Karen. And we know, and we've been resting in that. And we just follow that and know in our hearts that it's true. And it is coming true. It is coming true. It's going. It is going right now. And her healing is manifesting. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Lord, we just thank you and we love you. We praise you. Amen. Amen. I'm grateful that understanding his love, I don't know about you, but freed me from hypertension. I'm thankful that knowing and understanding his love, who I am in Christ, amen, set me free from anxiety. began to set me free from fear. Amen. Perfect love casteth out fear, right? So, Lord, we thank you for your perfect love. We thank you for just, Lord, revealing your love to us. Revealing the love of the Father to us. That Abba Father. That's talked about in several scriptures. Abba Father, Daddy God. Man, we belong to him. Man, he's not just my God. He's my Father. He's my Father. He is my Father. Man, I can trust him. He's there. He's not over there with a big stick ready to... No, not at all. Man, thank you, Lord, that he's always there to encourage me, strengthen me. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. So, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you again. Hallelujah. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the remnant of the body of Christ. Amen. A remnant on this earth that knows their God. We thank you for that, God. So we bless you and we honor you for that, God. We bless you and we honor you. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We can continue in an attitude of worship. I just want to read Psalms 150, a few psalms. The psalm of praise, it says, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. And it says, praise him in his mighty expanse. Wow. It says, praise him for his mighty deeds. He's done a lot of mighty deeds just in my life, let alone what he's done in many other people. Amen. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. His excellent greatness. Amen. And it says here, praise him with a trumpet sound. We don't have a trumpet, you know, maybe someday, but I'm just saying these instruments, praise him with a trumpet sound. Praise him with a harp and the lyre. John, I don't know if you can make a lyre sound. It says, praise him with tambourine and dancing. Dancing. Did you hear that? Dancing? Amen. Remember when David danced before the Lord? Amen. And he was a king and... Was it Michelle that was his wife or was going to be his wife that was the daughter of Saul? Saw that and she says she was indignant about that when she saw that. She says, What are you gonna do next? He says, he said, you hadn't done anything. He said, you haven't seen anything yet. You show us, Daryl. You show us. Praise him with stringed instruments and flute. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Everything that has breath shall praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like this. I'm going to keep going. Can I go a little bit longer with another psalm? It says, praise the Lord. Sing a new song to the Lord. You ever been where you're just worshiping him? And out of your heart just comes worship and praise and exalting God. That's a new song. It says, praise the Lord, sing a new song to the Lord. Hallelujah. And his praise in the congregation of the godly ones. This is a congregation of the godly ones. Do you believe that? Yes. It says, Israel shall be joyful in his maker. I'm part of Israel now. I'm joyful in my maker. Amen. It says, the sons of Zion shall rejoice in their king. Jesus is the King of kings. Jesus is the Lord of lords. I worship and honor the one and only true king. Right, Mike? They shall praise his name with dancing. There we go. It says dancing. I'm just reading it. It said, they shall praise him. They shall sing praises to him with tambourine and lyre, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Did you know he takes pleasure in us right here? Do you agree with that? It says he takes pleasure in his people. Did you know he loves seeing us joyful in him? He loves realizing being joyful in him doesn't always have, well, much of the time sometimes has nothing to do with how you feel or your circumstances. It has everything to know who you belong to, whose hand you are in. Amen. He will glorify the lowly with salvation. Hallelujah. How many lowly have you ever been, man? I'm without Jesus. Whew. Talking about low. Doesn't get no lower than me without Jesus. Anybody remember how low, you know, how low can you go? You ever? I mean, without Jesus, I wasn't at the bottom of the barrel. I was under the barrel. Do you remember those days? Do you remember how low you were without his salvation? Wow. He will glorify the lowly with salvation. You know, that just means, Lord, I need you. Here I am. Take me. Take my life. Do whatever you want with my life. I belong to you. The Lord loves that posture of our hearts. He loves that posture. Amen. The haughty in themselves, man, they can't receive anything from God. The haughty in themselves can't receive anything from God. You know, God's grace, we say it over and over, but God gives grace to the humble. But there's an opposing the proud. So I think that he comes to the lowly. The lowliest means, man, I can't, Lord, there's nowhere else to turn. I give everything to you. Amen. The godly one shall be jubilant in glory. Jubilant in glory. They shall sing for joy on their beds. Did you hear that? On their beds. Sing for joy on their beds. They shall sing for joy on their beds. So I get home tonight, but when I'm in bed, I'm going to sing for joy. My wife's going to say, what happened to you? I'm going to take her to Psalms 149 before she tells me to keep it down. The high praises of God shall be in their mouths. The high praises of God shall be in their mouths. Amen. The high praise. You ever think of the high praises? Man, the high praises, that means that you're in that worship and praising him. Man, there's that connection with heaven in that high praise, Mom. In that high praise, there's that connection. There's that. I'll never forget when I went to this campfire. It was some kind of campfire thing in Phoenix last year. I hope they have another one this year. Pastor Freddie has it at his church. But I remember there was just a big group of us up at the front worshiping and praying in tongues and just pushing in. All of a sudden, you can feel a breakthrough. Boom. And I remember thinking, man, it had been a long time since that happened. But you know why that happened? It was everybody of singular mind and purpose. There wasn't three-quarters of the people staying there, why a quarter up here. No, everybody was up and just worshiping and praising and speaking in tongues. I remember it just felt like a breakthrough. Now, what happened in that breakthrough, I don't know. But I know there was a breakthrough in the Spirit. The high praises of God. In the high praises of God, there's breakthrough. There's breakthrough. Loud cymbals on a drum. Instruments, a volume, full volume, people praising together. I'm telling you, there is a breakthrough. I don't know exactly what's going on, but you can sense it in your spirit, man, right then. But it happens when you've got people of a singular mind pressing in. Amen. The high praises of God shall be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hands. Like, I think, you know, I think of that, but I think of that scripture says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Sword of the Spirit, right? Go back to Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit, right? The power of singing the word of God, declaring the word of God. Man, there is victory. You ever been? I sometimes still do it where I can get down in situations going on and my flesh says, I don't want to do that. You ever been there? Is that just me? But part of that growing, and you can stay there, you know, you can stay there 10 minutes. You can stay there 10 weeks. But at some point, what you do is you say, guess what? I can't stay here. We take that sword of the Spirit and worshiping and praise and start declaring the glory of God. Start reminding ourselves by the word that comes out of our mouth about his goodness, about his grace, about declaring our power over the enemy in Jesus' name. We finally had enough and we start declaring victory and we start breaking up that darkness that would like to surround us. But sometimes we'll sit there. You ever done this? We're waiting for God to do something. He says, I've done it all. I've done everything I'm going to do. You need to open your mouth. Sing the word. Declare the word. Changes the atmosphere in your room. Changes the atmosphere in your home. And it changes the atmosphere in my mind. And whatever's trying to bind it and cling to it is broken off in Jesus' name. And then I always say, man, why didn't I do that yesterday? Because I was happy to be in my attitude yesterday. Ever been there? But even though, let me just tell you that even when you're there in that, just know that he doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. He doesn't turn his back on you. He's like an all-loving father saying, come on, take that sword, the word of God, start worshiping me, start honoring me, start praising me, and you'll come out of that funk, and you'll grow a little bit. You have another testimony saying, there he even when I was faithless, he remained faithful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad, man, that he's so patient? You think of all of these fruits of the Spirit, and that's what they are. They are fruits of the Spirit that he is perfect in, but I may not be in, but it declares all of his character. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and meekness. God has all those attributes perfect. That's what he thinks of me. Think of all those attributes, and that is what he thinks of me. See, how could he be asking us to mature in something that he doesn't, that's not him? That is him. The fruit of the Spirit is basically saying, this is my character. Let my character be matured in you. Thank you for your love towards us, Lord. Thank you toward your peace, his perfect peace. Amen. Love, joy, peace. Joy, the joy of the Lord. He is perfect in his joy, Lord, that we can share in his joy. Aren't you glad that he's joyful towards us? That he has a heart of peace towards us? That he has a heart of faithfulness towards us? These are all these things that belong to us. That he thinks about me. Man, that's good. Thank you, Lord. And a two-edged sword in their mouths to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. There's a day coming. Saints, we're in a day of grace, and he's calling people, right? But there's coming a day, man. There'll be those who reject him. There'll be punishment. But for those who know him, man, we've passed from death into life. We've passed into his goodness. Amen. He said he'll bind their kings with chains. That's the devil. The kings of this world, or the king of this world, is, or the little g of this world is Satan. It says, and punishment on the peoples to bind their kings with chains and their dignitaries with shackles of iron, to execute against them the judgment written. This is an honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. We know we're going to be there. We're going to be there when Satan is thrown into the lake of fire. And you remember that scripture says when they takes going to take one angel to bind him up and throw him into the lake of fire. And people are going to be looking at him saying, is this cat here? This dude here caused all the problems in the world? One angel. I think it's going to be Michael personally. He is the archangel. One angel. So we're going to see all the enemy bound and thrown into the lake of fire. Amen. Lately, I'm just saying, before we get into this number 54, session 54, I've been listening to stories of people that have been to heaven. And it just brings, you know what it does? It just brings comfort to me. Say, man, this is, it gives me something to look forward to. I mean, life is great. Don't get me wrong. Life is great, but it's not near as great as what is to be revealed. So I'm listening to these stories of people seeing heaven. I'm just like going, wow. And just the, what they saw and what it was like and the perfection and the love and the light and all of the flowers and everything they saw. And it just says, someday. Did you know it's not that far away? If you lived another 50, 60, well, depending on how old you are here, if you lived another 60 years, 70 years, it's not that long. Or he could come tomorrow. And so in listening to that, it encouraged my heart that nothing that we go through here, as Paul says, it's minor compared to what is to be revealed. Amen. Do you love him? Could we just take one more second and say, thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your strength tonight, Lord. Lord, we draw from you tonight, Lord. We draw from you. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the encouragement of the Word of God. But we draw from you tonight, Lord. So we just bless you and honor you. Thank you, Jesus. We need you. We need you day by day. Amen. We thank you that you're there. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Those psalms of worship are awesome, aren't they? They really are. Many of those psalms being written by King David, right? Not all of them, but did you know one of the psalms is even written by Moses? Did you know that? Yeah. Are they? A lot of them written by Moses? That's awesome. From Moses. Yeah. That's awesome. And other people that wrote these psalms, and if you think about it, these psalms, are a lot of them are just it's just words put to music and singing it. And also, it's like somebody who had a singing diary, because some of these things, like with David, other things, it's like getting a glimpse and not into just the power of God, but their struggles, the struggles that they went through, and God preserving them and bringing them out. Did you know that everybody has struggles sometimes? I know we don't like to admit it. I know we don't like to declare it. But sometimes in our own lives, there's times where we have struggles. But the good thing is God is there with us during that entire time, and he'll bring it out. Let me just say this. Any struggle that you're in, it won't last forever. The biggest lie of the enemy is if we're in a struggle, it's like, I'm never going to get out of this, or this is never going to end. I've been around long enough now to know that's not the truth. Sometimes those struggles could be there longer than I want to, but he's going to bring us, he brings us out of it. He's so faithful. Amen. Amen and amen. And so John session 54, I believe it is, right? John chapter 6. If you remember, right before these verses, that they had got on boats, crossed the Sea of Galilee, those that Jesus had fed. And we don't know if there was thousands of people. It says the crowd went looking for Jesus. And remember, they found him, and it's interesting. They said, oh, there you are, Jesus. Fancy running into you here. We just happened to bump into you. But we already know that from reading previous verses that they wanted to take him and force him to be king, right? Make him king. And so they said that, Jesus, we found you. And, you know, and at least in the Bible, in the verses, it seems like Jesus is just always really direct. You know, I'm not saying he was unloving. I'm not saying he wasn't unkind. But he seemed to always get right to the point. So Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly. He's saying, hey, this is the truth. I'm telling you the truth here. Listen up. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate some of the loaves and were filled. We're going to continue. Verse 27. And he says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal. And so he's saying, hey, don't work, don't focus on the things that perish. And so we have to work at everything, but you know, even in that work, that's not our main focus, right? If that was your main focus, you wouldn't be here tonight, I can guarantee you that. But he says, you're focusing on this food, and they're saying, give this to us. He says, so don't, he's saying, don't work or don't focus on the things that perish. Works will perish. We know someday everything that man has made is awesome, is powerful, right? But it's all going to perish. It'll all burn one day. Did you realize that? And so I'm not saying there's anything. I mean, we need bridges to get across rivers. But here's the thing is, in the mind of the believer, if the believer's working on that bridge, they realize, you know, someday this will not be here. My life is not just making a bridge. And it says, but the food that lasts forever, that eternal life, is, he's saying, is a gift. So don't focus on the things that perish that are, you have to work for. But what he's saying here is, but focus on the food that is eternal, which is a gift. Did you know everything that you get from God is a gift and it's eternal? Did you know that? The Holy Spirit that's with us is eternal. Our salvation that's a free gift is eternal. Your job and what you do, which can be awesome, I'm nothing against it, but it's, you just got to look at it in the context that it's not eternal. It's not immortal, right? It's mortal. Everything that's free, that's a gift from God, is eternal. Isn't that amazing? You have gifts from God. They were given to you. You ever think of that? Those gifts that God has given you are for an eternal purpose. They're for an eternal purpose. The things that God has given you, giftings and abilities, the things that you're doing, there's an eternal purpose there. Isn't that amazing? And so much with man, what they do, they spend all they have, all their efforts with works that'll burn up someday. Everything that you work hard for, I hate to say it's temporal, but everything that's a gift is eternal. Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Jesus, for the gifts that we have. Did you know everybody has gifts and abilities and things that they have that given by God to really to give back to his body, to give back to people? Eternal gifts. Now, we can't go down this road, but you could sit there and say, well, how do I discover my gifts? Well, one thing is this bodyhood. I've learned that the only way I've discovered my eternal gifts is through bodyhood, together. Amen? You might have the gift of encouragement. Encouraging others is a gift that God gave you. And I'm telling you, it has a dividends that pays for eternity when you encourage people in the things of God. Man, I'm telling you, that gets them down the road. That gets them trusting in God. It gets them, lifts up their spirit. It has an eternal benefit. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for those eternal gifts. Therefore, they said to him, verse 28, what are we to do so that we may accomplish the works of God? So we know in their day and age, they're definitely going, okay, what do we got to do? What are the works of God? Because let me just say this, they're still thinking about the free bread and the free fish. That's where their mind is. Let me just say this. That's where their mind is. They came looking for Jesus, saying, we're making you king because there's bread and fish for everybody. There's going to be a party. And Jesus, verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. Here we go. Here's the work of God. That you believe in him whom he has sent. There you go. Jesus answered again and said to this, verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. And believing in him means you get this, we know, is a gift of salvation. A gift. Believing in him. So they're still focused on the gift of the bread and the fish, and he's trying to bring it around to the eternal things, the gift of salvation. This is the work required. This is what he's saying. This is the work required. Believe in Jesus. He's saying, believe in me, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. You know, I think about that, this work required belief in Jesus. And I go back to I want to read Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Because sometimes this scriptures can get confusing. It says, dear friends, he's talking to the Philippian church. Dear friends, he's talking to you and I today. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. This is Paul saying. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard. From the New Living Translation, it says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. You could stop right there. And I want to say first, it did not say work hard for your salvation. It didn't say work hard for your salvation. He's saying work hard and showing God's work in your life. But you really have to go to verse 13. Let's go to 13. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. And see, it kind of goes back to what I just said. Sometimes we're in a struggle. That hard work sometimes is, Lord, I'm pulling that sword of the word out. I don't feel like it right now. But Lord, I'm declaring your goodness. I'm declaring your grace. I'm declaring your power in the situation. Father, I'm declaring I belong to you. And sometimes, I hate to say it, but that seems like really hard work sometimes. You ever been there? See, it's what God's done inside you and is doing that your flesh is, we're ticked off right now. And that working hard is what God is doing and done inside you, letting it come out. Making your flesh say, no, we're going to worship him. Sorry, we're going to praise him in this situation. I'm going to declare his goodness. I'm going to choose to forgive that person. I'm going to do this and this according to what the word of God says and what God's done inside me. So that hard work sometimes to let out of your spirit, man, through your flesh declaring, God, thank you. God, I worship you. God, I bless you. Because the truth of the matter is, it says, for God is working in you. So who's working in you? Giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Which is honoring him, worshiping him, submitting the situation to him, not doing it out of your own self, out of your own anger, out of whatever it is, and saying, Lord, I submit this to you. I give this to you. Does that make sense? Sometimes that can be work to show that salvation that's already happened from the inside out. So what does it? Are we saved or reconciled to Christ from the outside, or is it from the inside out? Amen? In the inside out. So what's on the inside coming out? Let me just say from that verse 12 where it says, and show the results of your salvation. Work hard. That part of work means to work fully, to accomplish, to finish. Those are the deeds. But the working in the Greek for verse 13, where it says God is working in you, is this, to be active. So that means he's active in me. Amen? Efficient. God is efficiently working. It means efficient too. It means fervent and be mighty in. So what's God doing in us? He's fervently working in us. He's mighty in us. He's efficient, man. The things that going on inside you with the Holy Spirit, man, I mean, he has got his hand on you. You can trust him. He's efficient, and he is active in your soul, man, through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God in you. Your spirit, man, is wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. How could it not be? The Spirit of God can't live in you unless there's that area where God, that in your spirit, man, where God has washed all your sins away. Amen. He's working with you. Amen. So then verse 30, let's continue. So they said to him, what then are you doing as a sign? What are you going to do as a sign? I mean, so they've already seen some signs. He's already multiplied the bread. He's already multiplied the fish, right? In verse 30 says, so they said to him, what then are you going to do as a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work are you going to perform? So let me tell you, it's still about the food. It's still about the natural. It's still about food. Show us a sign. Show us what we want, then we will believe. You know, that's the thing is in following Christ, it's yielding to him. So what they were basically saying is Jesus will yield to you if you do what you want us to. Lord, show us another sign. Show what they're saying. Show us that bread again. Show us that fish. Show us what you did there. That's why we're here. And so what they were saying, Lord, we'll follow you if you'll be the God that we want us to be. How about you know that when you give your life to him, right, you're yielding to him. You're yielding to his goodness, his righteousness. You're not yielding to your righteousness. You're yielding to his righteousness. So we're not asking Jesus to, we're not forming Jesus into the God we want him to be. No, he's forming us into the child that he's called us to be. Amen. Then they continue. Let me see verse 31. It says, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. So you know it's still what we're still talking about, food. That's what they're minding. Their whole time, they're still talking about food. And it feels righteous and holy because now they're quoting the Bible. Our fathers ate that man in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. But what you want us to be and what it says, be what you want us to be and we will follow you on our terms on what we choose to believe. Aren't you glad you don't do that? Amen. Amen. And see, this is where we get into this. Jesus was an offense. What he's going to say, we're going to say in the next couple of weeks that he went from a large crowd following him to a large crowd being offended by him. Romans 9, 32 and 30 says, and Paul saying, talking about at this time why the Jewish people were not coming into Christ. This is Paul's talking about his fellow believers and brothers and sisters. Romans 9, 32 and 33 says, why are they not coming into Christ? Why are they not being made righteous? Why is Christ not accepting them? Why aren't they part of the body? Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith. But as though they could by works, they stumbled over the stumbling stone. Who's the stumbling stone? That's Jesus. Just as it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And the one who believes in him will not be put to shame. So where Jesus is saying, hey, follow me by faith. He's saying, believe me. And they're saying, show us a sign. Make that bread again. So they weren't willing to come in by faith. Did you know that you are saved and made righteous? Let me say it again. By your faith in Jesus Christ. By your faith. This is what I realize in trusting God is I don't come with a heart saying, show me a sign. First and foremost, I believe this sign. God gave his son, Jesus, as, amen, sacrifice for all the sins of mankind. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I trust that by faith. I receive that by faith. His Holy Spirit comes and lives in me. Amen. And I become born again, and I am a child of Abraham. Amen. And then God's signs of power and grace and mercy follow that. You agree with that? Amen. Let me continue a little bit. Verse 32, it says, Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. Wow. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. He's talking about himself, is he not? Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Give us this bread. You know, I just want to stop real quick. That reminds me of going back to chapter 4 of John. Do you remember when the lady at the well says, they're saying, give us that bread. But the woman at the well is saying, give me this water. Give me this water. So they're saying, give me this bread. He's talking about his righteousness. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about his spirit. He tells that to the woman at the well. He's telling the same thing to these people that are following him. You think about it. Say, give us this bread. They said, Lord always gives us this bread. Deuteronomy, I just want to go back to Deuteronomy 8:3. Just to want to talk about this bread. What was Jesus talking about? Well, isn't he the word? Deuteronomy 8:3 says this, and he humbled you. God is talking through Moses, talking to the Israelites, and he says, and he humbled you and let you go hungry and fed you with the manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, in order to make you understand that man shall not live on bread alone, but man shall live on everything that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. You know, the Israelites were humbled in the wilderness. They had to trust God for food. They were hungry. They had to trust God because they were hungry. You know, how did they become humble? They were hungry. You know, the results of this humility, the results of their humility was, Lord, we're going to trust you in leading us through the wilderness. And I'm telling you, it's the same thing. If you're hungry and thirsty in your life, if there's any void, if there's a hunger in your life, only Jesus can satisfy that. We have to come to a point in our lives where we're humble enough and say, Lord, give me the bread of life. Lord, give me the bread of life. When he's talking to this group, he's trying to get to them that I am the bread of life. And when he's talking about the Deuteronomy, he says, hey, look, you became hungry. I allowed that so you would trust in me. In our lives, man, the Lord wants us to hunger and thirst for his righteousness that he's given us. Amen? And so sometimes they had to humble themselves in the wilderness. I think every struggle in our life should create a humbleness. Let me just say that. Every struggle in our lives should create a humbleness. Now, how's that work out then? Lord, in this situation, I need you. Lord, I need you in this situation. Lord, I need you in this struggle. Jesus, you are the bread of life. See, in Deuteronomy, when they were in a struggle, man, we don't have anything to eat. Another time, we don't have anything to drink. Man, they were at the point of humility to say, Lord, I got to depend on you. And that's with us, Jesus be the bread of life. In circumstances in our lives, to say, Lord, I need you to fill that need. See, what happened with the Israelites, though, is they began to grumble and complain and became stiff-necked. They were everything but humble. Everything but humble. So what is it when we're going through those things? Has anybody ever been through some struggles? It's an opportunity to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I need you in this situation. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. I'm not going to complain. It's a perfect time to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I need you. I need the bread of life. I need the bread that leads to eternal satisfaction. I need the bread that leads to, Father God, to me leaning on you, trusting you, you bringing life, a continued flow of life. And see, so what was God, Jesus, trying to get them to realize here? I'm the bread of life. Humble yourselves. Just believe in me. Just trust in me. Don't give up. Don't give in. I have everything you need. Hallelujah. The Israelites said, give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will not be hungry. And the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. See, going back to Deuteronomy, the manna, the water was all just a representation of Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. He is our manna. Amen. He's the one who quenches our soul when we're thirsty. Amen. Isaiah reminds me of Isaiah. I'm going to close with this. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3 says, you there. Hey, you there. Well, I'm just saying that's what it says there. I'm just saying what it says there. You there. So I'm a you there. How about you? Are you a you there? Can we just, so I know everybody's awake, can you say it with me? You there. One more time. You there. Okay. Everybody will be awake for the last 5 minutes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He says, you there, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. This is Isaiah. Understand biblically, it's not talking about going to finding some waters and you take it a drink, man. This is talking about Jesus Christ. This is prophetic regarding Jesus Christ. You there, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. You can't work for it. It's a gift. Everything we have, it's a gift from him, saints. Verse 2 says, why do you spend money for what is not bread that doesn't satisfy? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. This is God speaking, man, from his word of God. It says, listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. This is the tree of life. This is Jesus Christ. This is what he was talking about. He says, I am the bread of life. So when they're all just saying, hey, make this bread. We want you to do this. He's saying, I am the bread of life. He's really speaking what Isaiah 55, 1 through 3 is declaring 800 years before Jesus even comes on the scene. It's prophesying Jesus. Eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. It means listen. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Incline your ear and come to me. It says, listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercy shown to David. So what was this covenant with David? The covenant of the Messiah. You will never not have somebody on your throne for eternity, forever and ever. That's Jesus Christ. That Levitical covenant was about Jesus coming in the lineage, amen? Coming through David, coming Jesus, who is the King of Kings. I think about the blind man who's on the side of the road crying out, Jesus, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, I need some bread. I need a gift. I need your gift of healing. I need your gift of power in my life. And so with you and I today, as we live in a world that it's all about, make some bread. Make some bread. And we have to, I get it, we got to have money to live. But that is not eternal bread. Come. It says, can you stand up with me? Lord, thank you for the bread of life. Amen. Thank you for the bread of life. Lord, help me to see past just this temporal world. Lord, help me by your Holy Spirit to see things the way you see them. Lord, help me to see the bread of life, those eternal things, the gifts of God that he places in our lives for the purpose of growing in him, in the purpose of blessing others, and the purpose, man, of walking in his strength. Here's the gifts. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Lord, we thank you. We receive of those gifts in our lives right now. Lord, we thank you that you're the bread of heaven. Lord, we thank you, just like at the woman at the well, Lord, that he says, come and drink. You that are thirsty, he says, this water, you'll thirst again. You'll keep coming out from this well, and you'll have to do that. But it's not what's going to satisfy you. It's my Holy Spirit, the water, that breath of heaven, the water of heaven. Amen. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. We thank you for that, God. And so we worship you, we honor. We thank you for the gifts of God. Amen, saints. We thank you for the gifts of God in our lives. Amen. And so we worship you and honor you. We praise you and we exalt you. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Thank you for blessing our families. Amen. Thank you for blessing our marriages in Jesus' name. Thank you for blessing and leading and guiding us and directing us, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you know every step we take, you're there for us. And so we honor you and worship you, the bread of heaven, the bread of heaven. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. You love him tonight?